This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is the Hijab 10 discount code for 10% discount on a wide range of products, including premium Ethiopian black seed products.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? I'm joined with the man, the machine, the Dawah machine, Ali Dawah.
That's correct.
How are you doing?
I thank you for all the praise you've given me.
That's right.
Fully deserved.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. Alhamdulillah. How are you, Aki?
Yeah, not bad. Alhamdulillah.
You know what's
bad.
Different about this video? Go on. Both our glasses on.
We have to. So we can have that clear vision.
2020.
That's what it's got to be. And that's now it's 2021.
Whoa.
Now it's 2021.
One.
And what's a better way to start 2021?
By reacting to this video.
Okay, let's see ready? The video. Let's see.
It's a very interesting video.
Yeah.
We're going to get straight into it.
Yeah.
So we've got a homosexual guy who's gay, and there's a Muslim hijab sister sat opposite him, and they're talking about religion, atheism, and being gay. Let's go. You ready?
Let's go.
I've known people that have been completely abandoned by every single person in their family due to their religious beliefs, that have literally said, we have to put the word of God first, and I don't know what you think to that.
It's not something that I can agree with.
What if you happen to have a child that was part of the LGBTQ community? How would you feel about that?
It'd be difficult. I'd be like, okay, cool, is this a situation?
So what makes it difficult though?
It makes it difficult because of my upbringing. We do inherit certain thoughts from our parents who have then inherited it from their parents because that's how they've been brought up.
So you have absorbed emotion and feeling that's negative towards the queer community?
Like an awareness of it, not the feeling of being...
See,
do you know what I mean?
This is the one answer from you that I'm finding difficult.
Sure.
This is a long-winded answer to say that you're accepting. So what's passed down? Is it homophobia that's inherently in you, deep within you, that you need to unlearn then and unpick?
Yeah, really valid point.
Yeah.
That maybe does exist in me. It's something that I champion every day.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so... It is a bit scary to me to think that, oh, even if it's a modicum of something, it's there, do you know what I mean?
It's brave of you to say that as well, because people are so scared to say it, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with saying, like, we're all
basically.
No, we all have to keep learning and unlearning and changing and adapting, because it's the only way we're going to progress in society.
Okay, the video carries on.
Yeah.
So the question is, how does one become homophobic? Where is the line that we draw hijab? So for example, as Muslims, we have a belief that this is not permissible. It's a major sin. God has destroyed nations.
Yeah.
Does that make me an homophobic?
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's very important to start any of these discussions, which can be very complicated at times and multi-layered in terms of things that are introduced, religious aspects, you know, ideological aspects, whatever it may be, that can complicate the discussion. But it's very important to start discussions like these with robust definitions. And I think homophobia is one of the most important things to robustly define. Because in the dictionary definitions, like if you look at Cambridge Dictionary or Webster, Merriam-Webster's Dictionary or whatever, you'll see something like to the effect of a fear or dislike of gay people or an irrational fear or something to this effect. And the fact of the matter is, I don't think anywhere in the Quran or Sunnah tells us to fear homosexuals, okay? So I don't think we are homophobic. I don't think we should be. I don't think we should be fearful of being homophobic in any as much the same way as we are fearful of anybody who's doing anything that is anti-Islamic or anti-normative from the Islamic perspective. For instance, a Hindu might believe in many gods, right? Or a pagan might believe in many gods, or a Christian might believe in the Trinity. All of those things are outrageous from the Islamic perspective because for us, we believe the most important thing is monotheism, right? A pristine monotheism where there's only one God worthy of worship, a respectable monotheism. So anything that goes against the monotheism is polytheistic in nature, is by extension outrageous from the Islam perspective. It doesn't mean though that we're going to have a discriminatory or an angry attitude or a dismissive attitude towards Christian people. We disagree with what they do, but it doesn't mean that we have to hate or have irrational fears towards them. In fact, we should share our religion with them, tell them what we believe in and why we believe it. And if we don't agree at the end of it, the Quran says lakum dinukum wa liya din. You have your way and we will have ours,
and we will carry on watching.
Tell me what's so great about being an atheist.
Oh, have you got all day, darling? Have you got all day? Well, look at me. I get to be free. I'm homosexual and I would not have been able to marry my husband. Although some people would say you could, but for me, I would want to follow a religion down to a T.
You can't.
That's interesting. I want to stop there. The reason I want to stop there is because he says, I'm an atheist, I get to be free, meaning he's homosexual, he could marry his husband. And he says something along the lines of, because I would want to follow the religion to the T. This is very interesting. If there's people that are watching this that might have inclinations of homosexuality, feeling like you're a woman.
Gender dysphoria.
Yeah, whatever it may be. So the thing is this. This is where the shaitan attacks you. And it's very clear from him. I don't know if he was a Muslim, but when he says, I want to follow the religion to the T, what he's basically trying to say in a nutshell, if I've understood correctly, is he's realized that whichever religion he belonged to, if he was a Muslim or whatever, he realized being gay was contradicting that. Now, the shaitan comes and attacks the believers in this kind of way. He will come and say, you've gone and committed zina. You want to pray now? You've drunk alcohol. You want to do this now? And what it makes us feel is that we feel like we have to be spotless. We have to be sinless in order to go into God's kingdom. And like, you know, for example, paradise. That's not the case. Because there's going to be a lot of people. There's a hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, who said that on the day of judgment, there will be people who will be smiling. Yeah, like smiling sinners in that context. Yeah, that they'll be asked, you know, like people would say, you know, we're doomed. We're finished. We've sinned. You used to sin, but you're laughing. They would say, because we sinned but repented. Allah wants you to understand that He has a Lord that's most forgiving. So with this attitude, with the mind here is that because I can't really follow the religion to the T because I have homosexual tendencies, therefore I will throw it totally. I will disregard it totally. That is wrong. Guys, so if you have this inclination, whatever it may be, stick to your religion. You know, whatever it may be, even if it's tendency of homosexuality, whatever it may be, put your trust in Allah and try to carry on.
Get religion right, and you can't get life right.
What's so good for you about being religious?
It just provides me that extra layer of support that sometimes I feel like the world can't provide me. It gives me a bit more structure with my moral decisions.
Why can't you be your own moral compass? Why can't you be a good person without faith?
I don't think that faith is so much as a prerequisite for you to be a good person. It's more about how you adapt it into your day-to-day life.
I see what you're saying, but to me that's sort of a pick and mix. You're going in there and you're picking and choosing what you want from the religion to suit. I was struggling with the LGBT thing. I thought, I've got her. No, I didn't really. Honestly, that moment was the moment where I was like, oh my God, she's been so honest here and I respect that. I would rather be atheist. It brings me the freedom that I enjoy in life.
I came to a realization that I might have a small seedling of homophobia, which was actually really quite upsetting because it's something that I don't want to embody at all. I don't think that made me doubt how I feel about religion. It actually encourages me or motivates me to be an even bigger positive force. I'd still rather be religious.
It's great to meet and talk to someone that is religious, has a faith, but it's individual to you and you're completely accepting.
In the Venn diagram of things, we still both share communal ideals of like 100%. Wanting to like push forward for generational change and to foster conversation.
Okay, let me get straight into it, yeah? Because I've been waiting. he says, I'm free. Okay, what do you mean by you're free? Because I didn't need, let me ask a simple question here. Did you choose your name? Did you choose the way you look? Let me ask you guys a question. All of us, do we have the freedom to, like, the desires that we have innate, like I can say, okay, why do I have a desire towards the opposite gender? I don't want to have it, bruv. I don't want to have it. Some people, there was a rapper who went and, excuse me, he actually chopped off his own private part because he said, this causes me problems. He literally went and did that. So when you say you're free, you're not free because the fact that you claim that you have homosexual tendencies, you could, maybe you had a problem within yourself so much so that you left your religion. Nobody's born free. Yeah, let's get this straight.
And that's, you know, it's interesting because Rousseau, a very famous philosopher, has a very famous quote. He says, man is born free, but everywhere shackled. In chains. Everywhere in chains. And you know, there's something beautiful in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Zumar, chapter 39 of the Quran, it says, ضرب الله مثلا رجل فيه شركاء متشاكسون ورجل سلما لرجل هل يستويان مثلا الحمد لله. This verse is saying that Allah has brought forward a parable, a man who is basically enslaved to many different slave owners and one man who's enslaved to one slave owner? And are they the same in parable? And then Allah says, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. In other words, wow, here, what's being said is this illusionary idea of freedom is something which doesn't exist in the real world. You're always going to be shackled to something, just like Rousseau said. And in fact, the Quran says this even in other verse. It says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the one who has taken his desires as his ilah, as his God?
Mm.
And you see, this is something which I remember reading when I was doing undergraduate work from Jeremy Bentham. Because Jeremy Bentham is the father of utilitarianism, which is almost like the seedbed, the intellectual seedbed of social liberalism, which is basically what this guy's espousing, yeah? Philosophical liberalism, social liberalism. He said that, Bentham said, you have two gods, pain and pleasure. And basically how he outlined living is, you have to get the most pleasure for the most amount of people, the greatest pleasure for the greatest, greatest good for the greatest number, how he called it. The idea here is that this is not freedom. Yeah. This is not by any stretch of the imagination freedom. And this is not any kind of moral anchorage at all. When he was asking the question, why don't you be your own moral compass? The reason why you can't be your own moral compass.
It's because you touched up. I was going to remind you to.
The reason why you can't be your own moral compass is simply because morality can either be conceived as something which is out there as real and you have to know it. And the way you'll know it is through a higher power, a higher knowledge that will elucidate it for you. Or it will be something which is socially constructed and meaningless in any sense.
Exactly. And as an atheist, if you believe, for example, it's just neurons that are firing that are just came from random effect, you can't even trust your own thought process.
Yep.
So to say you have your own moral compass is like living in Nazi Germany and you're just going to be joining, you're going to be joining Hitler's camp. Why? Because that moral compass in those days were pointing towards killing the Jews. Now, the thing is,
because the thing is, it's a good point you mentioned that actually, because you could, if you are, he's assuming that if the person had their own moral compass, that they won't be homophobic.
Exactly. No, you would be. There's a lot of people. Like, for example,
that's what I'm saying.
Why, in Jamaica, if there's a lot of people that they're
in any country, not just any country in the world. Country, I don't know why you just mentioned that one. But what we're saying is, no, honestly, moral compass, is something which is completely subjective. And as such, you could be, as an atheist materialist, you can be like Stalin, you can be like all of those other materialists that existed aforetime, and you could justify, you know, an ethic which is anti-homosexual. He's assuming that everyone's going to gravitate towards the liberal ethic, which is, here's the problem. And that's why I think we should move to the next part of this conversation, which is this. I think that the sister, she was being interrogated, all right?
She did feel a bit like she was already...
She was being cross-examined. And I think that this back foot approach, I don't endorse it, to be honest, with all due respect to the sister.
Yeah.
It's good that she still said, I want to be religious at the end of it and all that kind of stuff. Alhamdulillah. But the back foot approach that, you know, you're trying to cater for the dominant population and stuff like that, it's very clear that you're on the back foot. And I don't think there's Izzah in that, with all due respect. There's no might in that. There's no dignity in that.
Yeah.
Real dignity comes when we're the ones asking the questions.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have a lot of questions to ask people from the homosexual community because we don't believe the practice of homosexual penetrative sex is in any way justifiable in any kind of morality.
Exactly. As an evolutionist, is that a word by the
evolutionist? Yeah, evolutionist, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, I was just checking if you knew it. you passed the test, Marshall. You've been doing your homework. So basically, to that person, if you go to that person, and if you ask them in the evolutionary process, if two men having intimacy, we can say, okay, if everyone
on the planet, but do you know they do have an answer for that? Do you know what they'll say? They'll say that because we have overpopulation nowadays, homosexuality has come to stop.
No, but wouldn't it be the end of humankind if everyone was indulging in it?
Yeah, no, but no one's assuming that everyone's indulging in it. No, I'm not going down the evolutionary pathway.
Well, I'm saying to be homophobic, you don't have to be religious.
No. That's one point. The other point is this, is that as Muslims, we do have an argument. If someone's coming with the liberal paradigm, then for us homosexuality, if we're talking about the harm principle being the thing that is going to dictate it, it's comparable with incest, for example, because you can have the harm principle, both of these individuals are not harming one another. And...
Good point. Can you elaborate on that a little
bit?
Okay, so what do you mean by incest?
So for incest, a brother and a sister, or two brothers or two sisters, right?
Okay.
Can be homosexual. If they both consent,
But what if they have kids? What if they have kids?
And no, they don't have kids. They can do it without contraception. Okay, so it's not an issue of deformed children.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to say is that the West has not been consistent in the last 50 to 100 years when it relates to minority rights using the dominant ethic, which is liberal philosophy. Because if they were, they'd be given incest rights, as much rights as homosexuals.
Exactly.
Maybe quite frankly, they'd be giving them.
No. They should.
They should do that.
To their world view.
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah. And I've met many people and I have discussions with them who are part of the homosexual community who feel it offensive for the comparison to be made in the first place between homosexuality and incest. Mm. The only reason why homosexuality is in the law books as something which is allowed and incest is still illegal in many of the Western countries is because there was such a thing as a civil rights movement, and there were a large group of people who were homosexuals who lobbied the governments of said countries for that right. But if there were that many people that were incestuous in their inclination, there were people, brothers and sisters walking out hand in hand,
exactly,
demanding rights, because at the end of the day, why is it wrong if both of them consent to it?
That shows that liberals are perpetrating inconsistency.
Yeah, it sounds good, man. Yeah, this is what we need. The point of the matter is this, is that we're not going to keep changing our tune whenever the liberal West decides to change its ethic.
Preach, brother.
So from now, like maybe from the 60s to the 2000s and to the day that we're living in now, it will be homosexual rights, but maybe 50 years in our grandchildren's age will be incest
where
rights.
Do you stop? And it comes back to the ayah you said in the Quran about having the multiple slaves and one slave. If you think about it, that sister, they obviously, we hope, alhamdulillah, like she's got one master that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You're right.
But do you see how when she was cross-examined, that changed in a way as if we felt as if she had to choose another slave master in the context, not intentionally, but that guy and say, you know what? Oh, actually, I agree with
you. She was acquiescing. She was capitulatory.
Yes.
It was a capitulatory
what
tone.
What does that mean? Sorry, that was so scary.
Can I say
capitulatory?
Yeah. Capitulation is when you give up, when you surrender or you give up the argument. Now you've almost become convinced. Mm. You give the opposition what they want, the interlocutor what they want. Yeah. And that's what she did. She kind of gave it. I think there was a pressure because she knew this was going to go on Channel 4. Yeah. She knew that millions of people are going to watch it who are not Muslim. Yeah. So she had to cater for that.
She didn't want to seem homophobic.
Yeah, maybe she... But then at the end of the day, it's quite fickle, because if she wasn't in a Muslim setting, would she be really saying the same stuff?
No.
She probably wouldn't be,
so
quite
she's
frankly.
She's under pressure.
She's under pressure. But if you're that kind of an individual, don't put yourself in the situation in the first place. No, that's number one. Number two is this. Look, I think that we as Muslims, and not just Muslims, people from all backgrounds who see it condemnable or aberrational, whatever it may be, the homosexual practice. I'm not talking about homosexual people. I'm talking about the homosexual practice of penetrative sex, rectal penetrative sex, or any of what it might be.
Yeah.
We should have as much the same right to believe in this as individuals who believe in it have the same right to do it under liberalism.
Yeah.
So in other words, if you want me to continue or maintain my freedom of expression, my freedom of speech, my freedom of thought, and my freedom of religion, then at no point does anybody in the West, whether they are the dominant population and therefore maybe the perpetrators of tyranny of the majority, which is something that liberals should be trying to avoid in the first place, or otherwise, those individuals have no right to tell me what to believe in and no right to tell my community or our communities what to believe in. But so we should never, because it will start today with us being forced not to be homophobic with this new definition of homophobia, which is that we condemn the practice.
Exactly.
And tomorrow will be, you're not allowed to believe in one God.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think our food's outside. It says it's been delivered.
Sorry,
guys. Anyways.
You got a bit hungry there, did you? You got a bit hungry there, did you?
Let's end on this note.
Yeah, go on.
Do we call people Islamophobic just because they criticize Islam?
No.
Okay. So do I become homophobic when I say this is a sin? Yes. And we believe that it should not be done. Yes. Okay. We don't should the practice.
But we don't have an irrational fear of homosexuals.
No, why would I have an irrational fear? Okay, what's it?
No. So by definition, you're not a homophobe.
Exactly.
And we don't teach our children, and we don't teach our community members.
Yeah.
Or tell our people in the masjids,
that
they should do, that they should have an irrational fear of homosexuals.
So then this sister is not homophobic. So the fact that she said, oh, I think I have English. No, you, sister, you're not homophobic. You believe in Allah's legislation. Allah said it's a sin. Simple as that. That doesn't make you homophobic.
That's right.
Simple as that.
And by the way,
send this video to this sister as well, please.
Yeah. their definitions of homophobia tomorrow, if they change them and they make homophobia something else, we'll reject the definition, by the way.
You know what that means? That means you have when you have multiple masters, this is what happens. You're going to be, like Malcolm X said, you don't stand up for something, you fall for anything.
That's right.
Homosexual, okay, That's homosexuality. Right. Incest, okay, incest, no problem. Rape your mom, okay. Where do you stop? This is what we're saying, guys. That's the reason why when you have one master, one book, Final Prophet, peace be upon him, and this is why we're saying one, and you apply that, brothers and sisters, you're not all over the place. We're consistent throughout. Yeah. And that's the reason a lot of religions, Christianity, Judaism, they're doing okay. Christianity and a lot of other religions have what? They've adapted it, they've changed. The Pope came out saying, like for example, homosexual marriages are okay. Now, what we're saying is they have a right to believe that.
One, by the way, why would homosexuals, with all due respect, the institution of marriage is deeply religiously rooted, right?
Yes.
So if you think about it, I find it quite ironic and surprising, actually, that homosexuals who might not even believe in religion in any way want to engage in a practice which has its institutions deeply rooted in religions which condemn the practice of homosexuality. But anyway, that's something else for another day.
Anyway, that's it, guys. Hope you enjoyed the video, inshallah. Please share this with the two individuals there if you know who they are. Send this to the sister. No, hey, it's just, you know, we're just trying to give a little advice.
And don't get bullied.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't let them twist your arm. At the end of the day, wallahi, you know what? We have rights in this country. Yeah. We do have rights in this country. We're British. Yes. I mean, I was born in this country.
I want Britain to be about British.
Yeah, no. We're British, yeah? We have as much right, listen to me carefully, we have as much right to reject the practice of homosexuals as homosexuals have to do it. So if they try and stop us from believing that they're wrong for doing it, or what they're doing is wrong, then wallahi, what they're doing is they're bullying us as a community, and we're not going to accept that.
Never.
And so don't fall prey to this kind of rhetoric. Yeah, and if we don't stand up today, our children are going to, believe me, this country is going to become a breeding ground for micro-liberalism, indoctrination. Don't allow it.
SubhanAllah, and we'll end on this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it talks about Khidr, when he was going and there was a wall that was broken, and he put it back into its own shape. Mm. Why? Because what does Allah say in the Quran? Because the father was a righteous person.
Yeah.
Allah protected the children because the father was a righteous person. Yeah. If today you are firm on your religion, Allah will inshallah protect your children against these kind of fitness.
Allah.
Mad thing. Are you mad, bro?
I like that. And they've got to subscribe already. You're going to subscribe to this channel, because if you don't, you're already doing yourself a disservice.
Boy.